Life. Sometimes so much is compressed into such a little word. Life can be overwhelming, but also quite breathtaking. Join our host, Josiah Carrick, as we follow a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, and a senior, each experiencing life's joys and challenges here at Cedarville University. We can have hope through everything because Romans 8:28 reminds us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. This is 1,000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast.
All right, Ben is back joining us. He is our sophomore of the group. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm doing good. I was going to say I've been getting rest, but last night I didn't really. But that's my fault. Don't stay up till 4 a.m., guys.
Ben, I don't know why you would do that.
Okay, there was a combination of spending time with a roommate, catching up on a thing I forgot I had to do, and also feeling really sick last night and just being like lying awake staring at the ceiling and being like, death is coming.
Oh my God.
But it wasn't.
No, well, you got fall break coming up.
I do. I'm very, very excited for fall break coming up.
Yes.
Not really to do things with people, just to get some sleep. 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours.
That sounds nice.
It's going to be wonderful.
Speaking of which, it is day 326 for you.
Okay. 326. So, we are slowly getting up to 365.
Yeah, almost a full year. Anyway, we've got a few questions, or I've got a few questions for you. Thanks for writing a journal entry. Have you been able to return to normal life now that the giver is over? What is that like?
Hmm.
I know last time, 2 weeks ago, you were in between the two weekends of shows.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's over. What's it like?
Now it is over. And that is a bittersweet feeling because I love this show and I love every second of being a part of it. But I was also like at a point where I was ready for it to be over. Even though I fully knew that like the moment it was going to be over, I was going to just be in this weight of depression and sadness for like a day because it's over. But we were able to do what we needed to do. We were able to tell our story. God blessed us with a bunch of great shows. A lot of people came to see us. We were able to tell what we needed to tell. And we did it. And now we can go and focus on other things that need to be focused on. Sunday afternoon was our last showing. Sunday night, after finishing homework, the post-show depression kind of hit me like a freight train. So Sunday and Monday was a little out of it. But then Tuesday came around and was like, I have my evenings again, which is something I have not had all semester. Like before classes even started, I have not had Monday through Thursday evenings free. So like, I can go to dinners with people. I can go to my bro sis dinner. I can watch movies with people before curfew.
Back.
I know. So it's been really nice to have like that extra bit of free time to invest in people and also work and things. So
now you mentioned post-show depression,
mm-hmm.
and you also said in the journal entry that you relied on God to get you through it. What does post-show depression look like, and how did you rely on God?
Post-show depression for me, I guess, is this feeling of a little sad yet satisfied emptiness. I've been working at this thing for so long, and I know it's what God wants me to do right now, and I've been pouring everything into it, and now it's over. And where do I go from here? So it's not like real like depression of like, oh, I'm really sad. But it's just like there's a bit of the sadness because we're over, but there's the satisfaction of feeling like we've done something good to serve God with. But mix that all into one and just this weird sense of, oh man, what now? That's what post-show depression's been for me.
What actively happens when you're going through it? Is it isolation? Is it needing to be around people? Is it pain or joy?
For me, on Sunday, it was definitely a bit of isolation at start. Ironically, the thing I had to do on Sunday for homework was a vocal analysis of the voice work in The Giver. So that was just kind of like the nail in the coffin of like, ah, shoot, we're done. And I got pretty emotional during that because it just kind of hit me like everything's over and they're going to be able to do this again. And this is like my chance to do the thing that I'm supposed to do. And like, oh. And then I was like, you know what? Screw this. And I put my stuff in my backpack and went on a long walk around the lake. And then I tried to find the Tyler cat. Could not find the Tyler cat. And I tried to find the hill cats. Could not find the hill cats. Was very disappointed. I expected to have a furry friend in my lap. And I did not have that. So it was really hard. And then I was going to just go back and watch some stuff with my roommate and just be around people for a bit. Ran into a friend coming out of the SSC, got a good hug and a little chat. And then, yeah, the rest of the night, just made myself busy, did fun things with fun people, kind of distracted myself from it. And then Monday came around and it was a little bit, I didn't want to be alone. I want to be around people, but it was just kind of a little bit of that emptiness feeling following me around for a little bit.
Now, as an actor on the show, I know that you have to strike the set. Mm-hmm. You have to put in some time to help do that. Does that help you at all? Does it act as a form of closure?
It did. It was also a little bit of a digging back up what I thought was already starting to wind down, because I strike the set on the last day on Tuesday. For any of you who don't know, striking the set means basically just helping tear down and unconstruct the set. So seeing the thing that we've been in for like the last like 4 weeks be reduced to nothing more than like a pile of planks and some floorboards was very strange. But yeah, that was kind of like a finality feeling of, yeah, okay, that's it.
Yeah. Well, Ben, you were fantastic in The Giver. You did a great job. The emotion you put into it was incredible. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know so many other people who did. Over 2,000 people came to see that show, and you impacted so many people. So thank you for experiencing both pain on and off the stage for the benefit of others. It's kind of an odd thing to say, but you also benefited yourself by doing it soulfully. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a bit of a happier note.
Okay.
You mentioned that you are a baseball fan.
Oh, my word. Okay. I will talk about this for days, and then we don't have days, but
I had no idea you were a baseball fan until recently, and then the Cleveland Guardians start playing.
Yes,
right,
sir.
It is Cleveland Guardians, right?
Cleveland Guardians.
Because I'm not even a fan. I don't know.
It was the Indians, but they changed the name like
this year.
This is the first year it's Cleveland Guardians, which is actually really funny because we made it to the postseason the first year, which is showing that like perhaps it was our old name that was cursed that was holding us back.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm a baseball fan. I have been casually for a long time because my mom liked baseball. My family's not like a huge sports family or anything, but my mom loved baseball. So growing up in the Philippines, she would buy the, they had like the radio subscription where it's like $3 a month and you could listen to any of the baseball games. So if, in the Philippines, it's a 12-hour time difference. So 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock games would be morning games for us. I remember like eating breakfast or like on our cleaning days, we'd like family like cleaning the house and stuff and just listening to the baseball game with my mom. In the last 2 years that we've been here, we've been able to listen to it more because, you know, actually in the country and you can just listen to it on the radio for once. So just listening to stuff with my mom and then just starting to get more interested in it. And then this year when it started, like at the end of last semester when the season started up, I was like, okay. And I got my mom's login information so I could listen to the game sometimes, log into classes or working on homework. And so, yeah, I've been following us, and we made it to the postseason. And everybody said that we wouldn't, and we said, ha, 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 see you in the playoffs. I'm not a huge sports guy, but, like, baseball is one that I love, and then Cleveland is my town.
Sure.
And I don't know how much you care about baseball, so we'll keep this very bare bones. But our team kind of sucked the last 2 years. So this year we were rebuilding, which meant we brought up a bunch of players from the minor leagues who hadn't ever played baseball before in the majors. And so like all like the sports websites and companies, whatever, you know, at the start of the year, they would rank the teams and what their projection was. Every single one said Cleveland was going to be bottom of the pile. And these young players like popped off. Like we started rough and then we got great and everybody was still sleeping on us all the way until we clinched our division and then we went through the first wild card tournament and then we had to go against the stinking Yankees who are like the horror movie villains of baseball and everyone's like, oh yeah, Yankees are going to sweep them in three and now we forced them to a fifth game winner take all series finale game. So as a casual-ish baseball fan, this has been a wonderful time for me.
Well, I'm glad you're a fan, and best of luck in the postseason.
Thank you.
As it wraps up.
By the time this episode comes out, we will either be solidly in the playoffs or really sadly not. So all of y'all who are listening can find me when you hear this and just go make fun of me for whatever happens.
Okay, one more question for you, Ben. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you have been able to quench fears of falling behind in friend groups by having time to spend with them. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, it sounds like it's the fear of missing out. Is that what that is? Are you afraid of losing friends because you have to put your time elsewhere?
It's a little bit of the fear of missing out, but it's been more of this feeling of like relationships starting in the groups or people being not as present or like other groups. It feels kind of like friend groups are shifting and changing and I'm not really sure where my place is in it or I'm not really around to help figure that out. So it's been a little bit of the fear of missing out, but it's been a lot of like things are changing and I feel like I'm being left in the dust kind of feeling.
So what's your constant? What is a foundation that you can run back to in things that are always changing?
Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. Yeah, I know that's kind of a cop-out answer, it seems, but like, I know my friends care, and it's not like I'm losing my friendships with these people, but it's like the group dynamics are always shifting this semester. Like, not just the one group that I'm in, like all of my friend groups are changing and weird, and I don't know what to figure out about them. But I don't doubt that people care, and I don't doubt that I'm individually still going to always be friends with these people, but it's like, will this be a group that I will have to do things with throughout the semester, or will it be a people that I have to find out and hang out with one-on-ones or grab coffees every so often with? But yeah, I'm worried about it, I'm overthinking about it, anything, I go to God, because I know he knew a thing or two about feeling betrayed by people he loved and considered friends. And I haven't been sold to any Pharisees, but...
Okay, that's a good thing.
It's just the comfort knowing that so many things that Jesus has experienced when he's on earth, even the extreme versions of what we are going through. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know that if he's gone through this, he knows what it feels like. That's what I think is so beautiful about what we believe, is that it's more than just any other religion's view of just the distant father in the sky who looks down at us and just watches it all happen. This is a God who loved us enough to walk among us and feel every single thing that we feel, so that when we're going through things like friendship problems or fear about something that we have to do but we don't want to do it, or all these things, like, we can look and find specific passages in the Bible where Jesus has either gone through this thing or a much, much more severe version of this thing. And I can go, oh, he knows. And then when you take it to him, there's that feeling of, I'm going to talk to you about this thing because I know you care about me and I know you love me and I know you want to hear about it. But I also know that you understand me and that you're listening to me. And there's something so beautiful in that, that like, even in the things that we face that are hard, we know that that can bring us closer to God because he's been there also.
Right. He's already been there, mm-hmm. which is why The Giver was so impactful to me, mm-hmm. because it's a whole show about emotion and memory and the fact that we need to understand the past so we don't mess up the future. And God is in the past, present, and future.
And let me tell you one thing about the last 2 weeks of being close to the end and then being at the end of The Giver is like, it shifted my view on certain things. Something that I know like really sucks or something that's rough that's going through, but I'm like, the fact that I'm feeling this means that I have the feelings. I have the capacity to feel. God has given me a range of emotions, and we all always just want to stay in the good ones. And I feel like that's going to be what gives us like a good life, or that's what's going to be closer to him. But we have such a wide range of feelings and emotions, and sometimes in the spots where we're in the rough ones, or we're feeling frustration, or we're feeling sadness, or we're feeling loss, that means we're human. And that means that no matter what's going on, there is something in this that has worth, that will grow us in our walk, and that'll grow us in our walk with him if we let it. It slowly started to change how I see certain things. And after being in this play for so long, it's been really cool to see happen.
It's been really cool to watch you adjust to that. Your view of emotion and how you use it is very beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. And I know you care very deeply about it. So thank you for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. Ben, I hope you have a really good fall break. I know I need it too.
Yeah. Catch up on sleep too. I'll be napping a lot, so.
Good. You need it. You deserve it. We'll catch up with you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Josiah.
Before you go, I hope you enjoyed this episode of 1000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast. If you liked it, you can follow us on Instagram and like our Facebook page. You can also go to our website, resoundradio.com, where you can listen to Resound's music broadcast, more episodes of 1000 Days, and view the journal entry from today's episode. This episode was produced by Jer Mobley and Hannah Newman and edited by Jer Mobley. I'm Josiah Carrick. Thanks for listening.